FBI Radio.
It's the first Thursday of autumn, and that means we're having the first down-to-earth of autumn. So, Professor Kurt Iverson, firstly, welcome back to the studio. It's great to have you in.
It's always good to be here. Thank you.
And so, you have been doing some work with a master's student at uni, a geography master's student called Tamsin Fisher. And what you've been doing is you've been looking at the growth of apps that are designed to help us become better citizens, certainly in the eyes of down-to-earth, ways that we can be more sustainable in our sort of everyday practices.
Yeah, exactly. So look, the premise of the research was just pretty simple, which is that we've got to a point now where like more than 8 in 10 adult Australians have a smartphone. So there's a whole lot of discussion about what we can do with these things and how they're becoming incorporated into everyday lives. And it just seemed like, well, how are they being incorporated into these everyday efforts to make cities a bit more sustainable and fair that we love to talk about on Down to Earth?
So they kind of make us more ethically sound.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it turns out that, you know, this is what Apple, they actually trademarked the phrase, there's an app for that, years ago when people started, you know, getting excited about apps for everything.
What does that mean? Does that mean we can't use that phrase?
Oh, I don't know what that means exactly. I think nobody else can use it in advertising.
Right.
That's
okay.
Right. I think they own it. But yeah, you know, so it turns out that when you dig into it, there is apps all over the place that some of them obscure little things that are coming and disappearing as, you know, quick as a flash, but others that are actually getting really popular and being used by heaps of people.
Well, we put the call out to find out a couple of apps that mm-hmm. the listeners were using. So maybe to get the ball rolling before we talk about some of yours, we can share a couple that have just rolled in. There's
yeah,
one
yeah.
we just had a look at, a website called Ecosia.com. It's a search engine that plants trees when you search something. Apparently, they use 80% of the profits they generate to plant new trees. And it says here on their webpage that they're up to like 21 million trees. And
which
counting.
Is a lot of trees. So,
which surely puts
I'm
it
above. I'm totally going to check that out.
Yeah, puts it ahead of a search engine that doesn't spend that much of its profits on planting
exactly
trees,
right.
Which is probably every other one.
I know. And probably also just reminds us that every time we search, actually, there are, I mean, we've talked about this on Down to Earth before, but every time we search, there are environmental consequences of all that data that's sitting there on a server somewhere, sucking in air conditioning and
we
blah, blah, blah.
We talked about that a while ago, how
we
there
did.
Were towers of sort of hard drives sitting around, because
yeah.
the stuff that we think is on the cloud, it's not really floating up.
That's right.
If it's, in the biosphere, it's yep. it's just on someone else's hard drive.
Yeah, your cloud is somebody else's computer. That's right.
Another text that's just come in on 0409945945 is an app called Palm Oil Investigations. This might have been something that you were going to touch upon. It's a
Ooh.
Barcode scanner. Sam from The Sham has texted that in, so that helps you find out whether
or not I was
going to
touch on that. We'll talk Ooh. About a few more of those info ones, but that one's been one that a lot of people have picked up, actually, so
yeah.
it's good to hear that one coming in and getting used as well.
And so where did you want to start in terms
well,
of...
Well, yeah, look, I just figured we could just work through a few categories, really, because, I mean, maybe we should jump straight to that, but, like, that palm oil app is an example of one category that I wanted to talk about, which is just kind of the ethical shopping consumer stuff, right?
Yep.
So
get to that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a few things around out there that are doing what the palm oil app is doing, which is effectively you can use the camera on your phone to just scan the barcode of a product that you're thinking of buying in the supermarket or at a clothes shop or whatever, and then it'll spit back some information to you about, hey, did you know this company is doing all
Which
this
is so
right
much
on environmental
easier.
Stuff.
Or, I don't know if you've ever entered a competition where you have to manually type in the barcode of a product to prove that you've bought it. It's
really
a nightmare.
It's
Maybe
a nightmare.
I'm a bit dyslexic, but the scanning idea
is
great.
Yeah, it's super easy, right? And that's the idea of these things, that if we're carrying a phone, rather than having to carry all that information in our heads about which brand of tin tuna it is that we should support or whatever.
Because they
you
kind
know,
of all look like they're doing the
they
right
do.
Thing,
they
don't they?
They all sort of say that,
yeah.
right? But yeah. So there's one out there called Shop Ethical that you can grab. That's got the... Started in Australia, that one. I mean, there are many of these things around the world, but that's a sort of Australian one. It's got about 4,000 products in its databases now.
I'd imagine that it's important to have an Australian-focused one because it
yeah.
will sort of be across a lot more Australian
Yeah,
products.
Exactly, exactly. So it's kind of, as you say, there are ones that would work in a US supermarket that just kind of wouldn't work here.
Yeah.
So they've taken information from places like Greenpeace and Choose Cruelty Free and World Wildlife Foundation, Friends of the Earth, and then just applied it to all these products. So again, get the information from there and then you can make your call when you're in the shop about what to do. We talked about sustainable fashion with Lisa Hines
yes.
a few weeks ago. So there's an app there as well, Good On You. Is another kind of app that actually started in Australia in 2015 and has now kind of been picked up globally, actually. Oh, there's a mozzie in the studio.
Clapped it. Sorry, vegans.
Gone. Yep. Oh, she's just hardcore with the mozzie sweating in here. So that one, again, you can just, when you're in the clothes shop, you know, look up the brand of things that you're thinking of purchasing, and it'll give you a bit of information about the social and environmental responsibility to the
because
company.
We talked about that. People want the story of their garments. If they're trying to shop ethically, they want to know the back history. And it's near impossible. The sales assistant generally isn't going to be able to know at what country and in what conditions the garment's been manufactured in. You sort of really need this app to be
exactly.
able to...
And, you know, it's such a brave new world, right? Like, in, you know, when the people started doing this kind of environmental work back in the sort of 70s and 80s, so there was a very famous instance of somebody putting together almost a phone book of like reports on different companies in Sweden, say, that, you know, people literally, you know, you're gonna walk around the shops with a phone book in your backpack, probably not, but now the wonderful world of smartphones, there it all is.
Well, mum and dad used to have a stack of Choice magazines that was almost as tall as I was, which wasn't the easiest thing to try and find out what appliance to buy when the magazine's 5 years old.
So yeah, actually, and there's no, I'm sure, I wonder, I didn't even look to see whether Choice have a
They've got stuff online.
I'm sure
now.
They would. They've definitely got plenty of stuff online.
How about we dive into food apps before we...
Yep. So that's another category that Tamsin sort of picked up in her research. And yeah, there's some really fun things out there. We've talked about food on the show before. So one of the little genres of apps that I'm quite into is stuff like, there's one called Wild Food Map, another one called Ripe Near Me. So Wild Food Map, especially, it's like, that's to find those mulberry trees with the big branches hanging over the fences to make your mulberry jam in summer. And, you know, just find those little bits where you can go picking
the low-hanging fruit,
the rosemary or the, you know, dandelion stuff that's growing in the parks around the place. So yeah, so those are good ones. And again, different, I guess, in terms of how they operate to the consumer ones, in the sense that these ones usually have a kind of bit of a map interface. So you can just be like, yeah, pop open the app, see where you are in the world, and it's like,
in location,
instead of giving you
some free.
Yeah, instead of giving you the Google map telling you where the nearest McDonald's is, it gives you the little map telling you where the nearest mulberries are.
Cool. So these were Local Harvest, Wild Food Map, and Ripe Near Me. I'm sure that there's others. Once again, we're asking people to text in.
Yeah,
so
that's right. And you know, it's community radio and stuff, right? So we're not...
We're doing it for you. 0409-945-945. We're talking about apps today on Down to Earth with Associate Professor Kurt Iverson. Apps that can help us make ethical decisions, anything from shopping more ethically to fashion to food harvesting, and I'm sure we're going to get into a bunch more. FBI Radio Mornings, you're listening to Down to Earth, our fortnightly conversation about the environment, the urban environment, and how we can live in it and be better citizens with the way that we approach our surroundings. So Professor Kurt Iverson came in today with a bunch of information on different apps that he started thinking about through Tamsin Fisher, who's a master's student in geography at Sydney Uni. And Tamsin just handed in the master's document yesterday.
Very exciting.
And now it's already been turned into hot content. So surely she's going to get good marks on this one.
Yeah.
Kurt, we began the conversation today by listing some apps, looking at sort of fashion apps, consumer apps like Good On You, Shop Ethical. We also had a look at some food apps that help you find free food around your area. So we listed a few of those: Ripe Near Me, Wild Food App, Local Harvest. I'm going to list all of those up on the program page at the end. So don't worry if you've missed something.
Don't panic.
So where are we going to go from here, Kurt?
Well, sharing apps seems to be another one that have that kind of environmental angle, right? So this whole discussion that's going on about the sharing economy and the platform economy, but it's just the idea being with some of these apps that rather than buying your own thing, you might be able to share it. And I guess the thing about the apps is what they're doing is that, you know, maybe in a old school urban environmental context, we all would have known our neighbours well enough to be borrowing ladders and lawnmowers and all that sort of stuff. But as that sort of
But now we
breaks
hate them.
Little,
we don't talk to them. We upset them because we had a party last weekend. They're not going to lend us that hammer or their car
exactly,
or a bicycle.
Exactly. So, you know, one of the things that the apps can do is kind of just grease the wheels of that sharing a little bit, you know. Visualise the stuff that people are willing to share in your neighbourhood around you on a map again. And then you know, having the usual kind of social media reputation checky stuff going on in the background, so that if you've been a bad borrower in the past, somebody will rate you badly and you'll never borrow again. But one of them, so there's one called OpenShed that's a good example of that, right? It's just, again, you know, if you've got tools that are sitting there in your shed, is the sort of notion of the app that you use once every 6 months, why not make them available to your neighbors? And then, of course, we've got all the kind of transport ones that are popping up there, right? So there's Car Next Door that takes the same approach to your car. If you've got maybe a, I think for a lot of people that are on that, maybe a second car that doesn't get used except on the weekends and it's sitting there all week, can other people use it?
I have a bunch of mates who borrow those for overnight trips and get out of the city that don't have cars. And
Yeah. They like them. It's a good idea. Again, because cars are one of those things that, you know, a lot of sunk costs go into keeping them on the road, but then they sit for so much of their life just in a driveway somewhere. So why
and the
not?
Better you try and be, and the less you try and use your car, the more ridiculous it seems when you've got to pay a grand to
exactly,
sort of register
to keep
and
it going.
It.
Yeah. So that's a nice one. And then we've got all those bike ones that are popping up as well. A bit more commercial, I guess, those ones. It's not as though people are sharing their own bikes. But
really mixed opinions about the bike sharing. People hate seeing them on the streets. It is funny that you'll wake up one morning and step out of your house and the truck will have gone past and they will have unloaded about 20 or 30 cycles up and down your street. I was walking through Woolloomooloo the other day and I saw somebody had hacked one of the bikes. I don't know what color it was. Spray painted matte black, and they'd hacked the clamp off the back of it. So instead of it becoming a share bike, it became a free bike. What I really loved to see was that it wasn't tied up. It was just left leaning. So you didn't have to download the app. Anybody could just jump on and use it. So bit of bike share piracy.
Yeah. And it is kind of interesting because I think this is the, you know, as usual, where the sort of hard edge of some of this stuff is, that there's a lot of people thinking about this stuff as opportunities for making money as well. So the sharing economy is being kind of, you know, monetized in various ways. So it's
sort of what happened with Uber.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to hear that, people are liberating these commercial assets.
It just made me so happy because it does make me sad when I see people who've purposely trashed them, because I just think what was something that probably wasn't being used is now never going to be used. It's just a piece of rubbish
now
on the street.
It's busted up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is no good.
So anyhow, we're talking about apps today to make your lives more sustainable, decrease your carbon footprint. Whereabouts are we going now?
Well, the other couple that I wanted to mention briefly, at least, is there are a bunch of just, I don't know, generic sort of information apps about various sustainability things. So Planet Ark have got a Recycle Smart app, which is, again, just something you can have on your phone when you're just not quite sure. Hey, this little funny bit of meat tray plastic here, can I recycle that? Smart Recycle will tell you. Sustain Me is another one based out of Melbourne that again just has some guides about what things in your everyday life can be recycled and how to recycle them. So there's those sorts of things. There's all the interesting citizen science ones, right, where people are kind of like invited to sort of contribute to like sciencey stuff or to campaigns, even where if you spot a particular thing in the wild, then, you know, snap a photo of it, it goes to some big database. So one of my favorite Australian ones there is Koala Tracker. That's actually, it's been going for a few years now. It's just literally, if you spot a koala somewhere, take a picture of it and we'll know where it is.
I've always wanted to see one.
But you never seen one?
No, I wouldn't have much to contribute to Koala Tracker. Yep.
But yeah, it sort of started in Queensland and it actually had a real impact on planning up there, because if a part of Queensland is registered koala habitat, then you can't develop in it. And so they have these maps of places that can't be fully developed because they're koala habitats. But the maps were not really showing where the koalas actually were. So lots of people using this app actually kind of proved to the government that some of the parts that they were about to develop were actually koala habitats. And
that's a great outcome.
Yeah, exactly. So those kinds of things. And there's another one. So there's a bunch in that sort of space. Climate Watch is another one. But Dive Against Debris is another, just getting divers to kind of take, you know, pictures and log examples of rubbish that they've picked up on their dives, and just as a way of documenting how polluted the oceans
There's
are.
There's been a couple of snorkeling events that have popped up over the last month or so. A lot of people in the hospitality industry have been getting behind it. Snorkeling is when people snorkel and collect straws from beach waste.
See, that's
if you've ever worked in a venue at the end of the night, you pretty much just dump a whole bucket of used straws that have been used once by one person for 10 minutes for each drink into the bin. Wow. It's a terrible waste.
So I've just never heard of straw cleaning. That's awesome.
Yep. There, so that's one.
That's my learning for the day. And hey, did we get any texts?
We've gotten some texts. So we've got a couple of listeners who've texted in that use Clucker, which is an app. So confusing standing in the egg aisle now because it can be confusing between free range and barn laid. We know that cage eggs means cage eggs, but the other ones, there's different degrees of good when it comes to... So Clucker lets you scan the front of the egg carton in the supermarket to see just how free range they are. So thank you, Jane. Thank you, our other listener who texted in. We had an interesting one. We kind of started the conversation talking about Ecosia, the search engine that plants trees. Somebody uses that. So here's some feedback. I use Ecosia at my work computer. The search engine itself sucks, but it makes me feel superior to my coworkers.
Nice. Look at me. I'm searching on Ecosia.
Look at these trees.
Yeah.
It takes me twice as long to find what I'm looking for. But hey, the more people use it, the search engine will get better. Watch out,
is that
Google.
How that works? All right, good. I think, you know, we could keep going with categories. The one that we sort of didn't get into really, but there's a whole bunch of apps that people can get on their phone monitoring their energy usage, or, you know, TripGo in Sydney. It's one of those sort of transport apps that gives you different route plans to get from A to B on public transport or cars or walking, and then spits out carbon footprint of the different forms of travel. So, yeah, there's just heaps of these things floating around. And the question that, you know, you've got to ask of all of them really is, A, what's the information that's sitting in the background and can we rely on it? So, that, you know, we've sort of got to, I think, just dig into some of these things before we embrace them whole as bolus. So knowing,
you trust everything, that all the information that they're giving you.
Yeah. And like, I think most of the ones that we've talked about today from looking into the background of them seem to, you know, be doing their homework. And
what kind of stuff would you be looking for, Kurt, if you want to know whether or not an app is giving you reputable information?
Yeah, well, I just think actually transparency about where it's coming from is the main thing, right? So most of the ones we've talked about today, if you pop onto the app's website, it will just actually break down in the about section. This is how we do what we're doing here. And quite a few of them actually let you contribute information. So if you've got information about a particular product or something that's not there, they'll say, you know, send it in and we'll have a look at it. And if we think it's right, we'll build it into the app. So, you know, a bit of dialogue in the community about that stuff is good.
Dialogue and transparency.
Yeah. I think those are the two key things. And, you know, but the thing about a lot of them too is it's just interesting the different ways that they work, right? So some of them just assuming that if we've got the right information, we'll do the right thing. Some of them trying to turn it into a game and sort of realizing, you know, the sort of attitude that actually people aren't going to do the right thing just to look better than their workmates, maybe, or maybe that's what will motivate them, right? That it's just
Definitely.
That sort of competitive thing. So there's a big one mostly in the States, but I think you can use it here now too, called Jewelbug, that is just literally, you can kind of plug in your everyday activities and win points for doing sustainable stuff. And then you can set up a little sort of social circle or friendship group or work group where you're all competing for points.
Oh, cool. And do those points get traded for things? Or
Possibly. Yep. I think you just win on Jewelbug.
Cool.
That's fine.
That's all I need.
Exactly. There's one in Melbourne, there's one floating around the city of Melbourne where you can earn green money that can actually be spent in sort of participating shops around the city of Melbourne who are sort of part of it. So some of them incentivizing things with actual financial reward. Yeah. So, you know, different options floating around out there for people to experiment with on their phones.
And Kurt, you only sort of within the last 6 months got your first smartphone. So this is kind of new territory for you. And look, as we know, the mobile phone industry itself does create and contribute a lot of waste to the world.
Yeah, that's right. So we've talked about this before, haven't we? But I think it's really worth just also, before we get too super excited about how smartphones are going to make everything better, remember that actually smartphones themselves are sort of contributing to a whole bunch of sort of social and environmental problems, particularly with the kind of obsessive built-in obsolescence of these devices where we're supposed to be, you know, replacing them every year to keep up with the latest whatever it is. So I think, you know, being conscious while we use the phones to do this cool stuff of also trying to do like the right thing with the phone. So if you're getting rid of one, the mobile master stuff is really important.
Yep.
But most importantly, I think, is to just all of us collectively maybe buying a few less of these things, right? And not feeling like we need to change it every year, because the kind of global consequences of that right now are also pretty hectic.
Thanks, Kurt. Well, this has been Down to Earth. One more text I'll try and get in. There's an IFAW Wildlife Rescue app. Did we mention this one? It's an app that if you find injured wildlife, it'll connect you to the closest, like, wires organisation. All right. That'll,
no, I didn't know about that one.
Which is good
nice
in regional
one.
Areas.
Yeah.
If you want to help out an animal that you fit with your car. So thank you, Gay, for texting that one in. I'll try and move through a few more of these texts. We've run out of time for Down to Earth today, and Kurt's got to go on and do the thousand things that you do outside of here. But if you have any other apps that you think are worth a mention, I'd love to share them. 0409-945-945. Text them in with your phone. The segment is podcasted each week, so you can listen back to past episodes of Down to Earth by heading to fbiradio.com/downtoearth.
Yeah, and like quick shout out to Michelle Sinan, who was on a fortnight ago talking about her production Lola Stayed Too Long, all about heat stress in cities, starts today
at the UNSW
University of Sydney.
Oh, University of Sydney,
the competition. That's right.
All right, well, cheers, Kurt. We'll catch you in another couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
This podcast is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Find more at fbiradio.com/podcasts.